is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever's on your mind toll-free at 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line for you as we roll into hour number two of the program. It's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are for free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. We wrapped up last hour with a conversation about arcade games, and Puke had called in from New Hampshire specifically to point out that the U.S. military is going to be putting out an arcade version of their, it's called America's Army. It's a video game they created for the, it might be available on console systems, but I know it's on the PC. So your computer, you can play this game that's supposed to simulate what it's like to be in the Army. And
I'm sure it's nothing like being in the Army.
Right, well, you can't really get shot.
A lot of sitting around, bad food.
Yeah.
I tried it back in the early part of this this decade when it came out, and it was awful. Just an awful game. But anyway, they're going to put it in the arcades, and that led us to the discussion of, well, what about arcades? Are they really going out of business? You said they are, Mark, and it turns out you're right. We'll get to the statistics here in a few moments. But let's go to the phones first and talk to Matt in Illinois. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I used to work in a arcade back when I was in college. I worked at an Atari game room.
Atari had a game room.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, this was back in the 80s. It was in Champaign, Urbana. It was a pretty busy place. We got a lot of business back then.
I bet.
But arcades have really, really fallen off. You don't find them too much anymore with the advent of, the game consoles that you can hook up onto the TVs and computers and things like that. People just don't use the game rooms anymore. I remember times when we would get new games in, and there would be lines waiting to play the new games.
Wow. Huh.
And you'd get these people who would dump, $10-$15 into the games looking to really master them, and then there'd be people gathered around watching, ooh, he's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Watching, it was like a spectator sport.
Mm-hmm. It was almost a social event or a social occasion back then.
It was, and those were really interesting times, but I know that the major players, your Stern and Williams and Bally, those guys that made all the pinballs and the arcade games, they don't make those arcade games too much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They might make the Game Boy versions and things like that, but they don't make the full-sized games anymore.
Somebody's out there doing it, because somebody's putting out new versions.
There's Golden Tee. I know that that's just about everywhere, and you can usually find some version of a video game where you can pick up a handgun or a
I'm
shotgun.
I'm talking about the old
something.
Games, though. I'm talking about, like, Galaga and things like that. I mean, at the Walmart
they
here
have
in
them at, like, movie theaters sometimes. Yeah, they have, like, a few of them at a movie theater.
Well, at the Walmart, there's a Galaga stand-up game, and I'm pretty sure that wasn't manufactured in the 80s, so somebody's still cranking out newer manufactured versions of old games.
There's a place called the Pinball Factory on www.pinball.com, and they make Williams and Bally's for you to buy. So if you wanted to buy one and put it in your home,
right,
you could.
Yeah, I had a friend who had a couple of arcade games in his home.
Wow, that's pretty cool. They're also still kind of pricey, though, aren't they? They're a few hundred bucks for an arcade game.
Probably more than that.
Well,
probably a couple thousand, I would think.
No, that's for the newer ones. Like, if you're looking at getting one of the top-of-the-line arcade games, then you're going to pay several thousand. Like, a Dance Dance Revolution is, I think, $17,000 for one of those.
Wow.
But if you're just going to get a plain old stand-up Galaga machine, you're looking at maybe a couple hundred.
And maybe not new, but you could get one used for a couple.
Yeah. Hey, Matt,
well,
thanks for...
There's been people who have done some interesting things. We have a place in the mall by us that is an indoor miniature golf batting cage, and they have video games there, too. So people are, figuring out ways to keep this stuff going.
Very good, Matt. Thanks for the call. We appreciate hearing from you at 800-259-9231. When you had said that you thought arcades were dying off, and I immediately was sort of taken back by that, Mark, because I had seen... In the last few years, I've seen this place, I think it's called GameWorks. I'm not positive on the name of the place, but I went to a mall when I was on vacation with my parents almost a decade ago, I guess, now. So, I don't know, maybe they aren't around, but it was like a club. they I felt as though arcades had matured, sort of. And
I know what you're talking about,
yeah.
And I can't remember the names of any of these.
Game World was one that we had in Boise, and it was very popular. Kids used to go and hang out there, and it was like three stories.
Right, they sell real dinner. There's a dance floor.
There's a bar.
Alcohol, yeah, there's a bar.
Yeah.
There's a DJ.
Absolutely. Some bars have sort of stylized themselves to some extent after arcades. But as far as how many games are being sold and the amount of people pumping quarters into them, it's just not the business that it was.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I did during the news break. I went around on the webs to see if I could actually get the statistics, and I do have those. But I was really impressed with this club. I mean, essentially, you don't have arcades anymore. You're right about that, Mark. But where the arcade games are found are really interesting places. Obviously, you've got the Chuck E. Cheese and that sort of thing. But then you've got these clubs with all these very expensive games. You aren't going to find a Galaga at one of these arcade clubs. You're going to find the Dance Dance Revolutions. You're going to find the very pricey new top of the line games that are going to cost you 50 cents to a dollar to play. But nonetheless, there were people lined up to play these games. But it seems like they really have had to up the ante in order to get people to walk through the doors. The club that I was at, not only did they have just your standard pick up the gun, shoot it at the screen kind of arcade games, but they also had more like interactive ride slash arcade games, like where you'd strap into this lift sort of device. It would lift you up and you'd have to shoot at things on one level and you'd take you down and you'd shoot at things on another level.
Well, it was
very
always imagined that there would be video games that are kind of like the Wii that's out now, the Nintendo Wii, where you would have some kind of ability to swing a sword or use a gun to in a small room, like a what do they call that on Star Trek, the holographic room,
the holodeck,
that there would be things like this, and it still seems like the world's waiting for the holodeck.
Who knows, man? In good time.
Funny jail story.
We're still waiting for virtual reality too.
Yes we are. I as you know, went to prison in 1989 and got out in 1998. In 1989, there were arcades everywhere. I decided when I got out, I was going to use the money that I had saved to open an arcade. I was going to make my money.
The whole time, huh?
It was my idea. It sounded like a good way to make a living, you know? I had a few ideas on ways I'd make my arcade better and different. There weren't any. I got out, there weren't any arcades. There were none.
Was that a shock to the system or what?
It was a little bizarre. It's the only thing I've got for one of those weird displaced in time stories. But
Julia, you're not too young to remember arcades, right? Or too?
I remember arcades.
Right. There were at least one arcade in every single mall that I ever went into back
there
in the
80s. There was arcades in malls still in South Florida.
Not in Sarasota.
There was in South Florida, because I used to be a fan of Dance Dance Revolution. I used to go to the arcade to play Dance Dance Revolution probably 6 years ago.
Some malls have arcades and some don't. And essentially, Dance Dance Revolution is in the middle of that arcade and everything else around there.
We had an arcade at the mall where I lived in Florida when I lived with my parents when I was 16. They took Dance Dance Revolution out of there. I stopped going.
I'm sure you weren't the only one.
Yeah.
1-800-259-9231 if you'd like to eulogize the death of arcades, because according to the statistics, they are on the way out, and according to NorthJersey.com, or rather PopMatters.com, he says it's difficult to write a eulogy for the arcade, that once ubiquitous quarter-eating staple of malls, bowling alleys, and college campuses everywhere, like Saturday morning cartoons and the NHL, it still exists, but it's been slowly fading from the American consciousness since its 1980s heyday. But it's not hard to wax poetic about one of the last of the old neighborhood arcades, the kind of place Norman Rockwell would have painted had he been a Gen Xer who felt romantic notions about Double Dragon. For many teens in the late 70s and 80s, arcades were actually prime destinations. It wasn't just that my generation was dying to guide a yellow anthropomorphic hockey puck through a maze or help a mustachioed plumber rescue his girlfriend from a barrel-tossing ape, but because arcades are one of the few shared spaces we could hang out that felt decidedly adult, unfriendly. For some of us, going to the arcade was a small act of anti-authoritarian rebellion. We'll talk a little bit more about the phenomenon, the dying phenomenon of arcades. I'll actually give you a few numbers as far as how much they are dying. It's pretty stunning, actually. 800-259-9231. Want to hear from you as well. This is Free Talk Live. Here's a good idea. When you have a legal matter like creating your will or legally setting up a business with a corporation or LLC, you don't necessarily need a law firm. Use LegalZoom.com. At LegalZoom.com, you answer straightforward questions online, and they take care of the rest. They even review your answers for common mistakes and guarantee your satisfaction. Free Talk Live listeners, you'll get 10% off your order by typing in FTL in the referral box at purchase. Don't procrastinate with these important legal documents. LegalZoom.com. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Brakes are a lot like your conscience. Both let you know when you're on a dangerous path, and gone unheeded can cost you big time. When we come back, I'll tell you the warning signs.
Bobby Likas here with car killer number 7 on my 10 most wanted list. What causes your engine to overheat? Usually it's corrosion and buildup in the cooling system. A BG cooling system service flushes that murky, discolored fluid, replacing it with premium coolant and conditioner. And it comes with a free protection plan. Remember, not all scheduled maintenance is the same, so go to bgfindashop.com to find a BG cooling system service now.
BG.
When it comes to your conscience and your brakes, ignorance is not bliss. So heed these signs of brake failure. Your car pulls to one side when stopping. Brake pedal seems lower than normal. Brakes squeal, chatter, fail to release completely, grab with the least amount of pressure, or require excessive pressure. Like life, today's brakes are complex, with a lot of parts and computerized anti-lock systems. Your job is to recognize your brake's warning signs, then leave repairs to well-equipped pros. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to RoyalPurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and RoyalPurple.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You bring up anything toll-free at 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line for you. If you've got, maybe you want to recount and get nostalgic on us with your old arcade experiences. Do you have an old arcade story for us that you want to share? 800-259-9231, because we're talking about the death of arcades. And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features there are totally free. Wikis there, over 1,350 pages created by listeners just like you. Actually, we've cracked 1,375, in fact. It's like the listener editable version of our website. Head over to wiki, wyki.freetalklive.com. So 800-259-9231, talking about the dying arcades, and PopMatters.com is writing essentially the eulogy for the business. And he's talking about how, obviously, arcades were huge back in the 1980s. That was really their heyday. And he describes the atmosphere from a young person's perspective, because that's pretty much who was hanging out at arcades.
That's who was pumping the quarters in.
Teens, probably heavily teen, maybe younger than teen, preteens. That's pretty much your population for arcades. The arcades I grew up in, according to Ryan Smith, were dark, sweaty, dungeon-like rooms filled with loud, obnoxious lights and sounds with even louder and more obnoxious people. I remember the plethora of mohawked misfits, D&D-obsessed geeky types, like you, Mark. And
me?
Didn't you play D&D?
Yes.
All right. And various other mall rats. Even the typical arcade employee embodied the aesthetic. The long-haired burnout or the 20-something underachiever celebrated in virtually every Kevin Smith movie. Ironically, though arcades were viewed by the older generation as seedy dens of teen corruption, the games themselves were often simplistic and childish affairs, especially compared with today's popular overcomplex and overstimulating console games. Back then, video games didn't revolve around fighting virtual lifelike recreations of World War II battles or murdering gang members. Rather, we were innocently helping a pixelated frog across the street, or saving a princess from a dragon. And despite all the unblinking eyes staring at video screens, arcades also often bred a sense of community. We'd chat with strangers about how to get past the nth wave of aliens in Galaga. Look on in awe for the guy who got past Act 5 in Ms. Pac-Man without losing a life. Or bicker over who got the turkey leg in Gauntlet. That was a good one. I always loved Gauntlet. That was fun. But by the late 80s and early 90s, fewer people were dropping dollars into arcades. The first blow of competition, big blow of competition, arrived with the home systems. First, the Atari 2600, then the Nintendo Entertainment System.
The Atari 2600, I didn't think was much competition to real video games.
Yeah,
I had
too early on.
I had one, and I didn't feel like... You know, I don't want to play video games because I have the 2600.
The Atari 2600 was my first video game console, and I loved it. I was really young when I had it, 4 or 5, and I just loved it.
No doubt about it. The 2600 was a great console with some great games on it.
Except E.T.
But it didn't... Oh, God. Worst game ever. But it didn't affect the arcade business, I don't think, because for a while what you had was essentially this race... where the arcade games were always ahead of the console systems. So even when the Nintendo Entertainment System came out and you'd get Castlevania for the Nintendo Entertainment System or Bad Dudes or something like that, the arcade version always looked so much better. It was a better...
Yeah.
If you wanted to play the best version of that game, you had to go to the arcades. Because they had to strip it down in order to fit all the... In order to make it compatible for the underpowered home systems. But basically what you had is, over time, the home systems kept getting more and more powerful, and the arcade people, you know, there was sort of this convergence, where the arcades couldn't really keep up with the pace of the home systems. As far as there wasn't, after, you know, by the mid-1990s, the home version of the arcade games were pretty darn close. Like, yeah, the arcade still had, the nose. They still had a little bit better. But I don't know if it was really worth it at that point to get up and go to the arcade and pump quarters into the machine, because you weren't really seeing a tremendous difference. And then by the end of the 90s, they pretty much met up. And, there's still certain experiences you can only get in an arcade. Like, you can climb into the racing car thing and, you know, it's got the steering wheel. Though they do have steering wheels for home games, but you don't get the big... case that you get to sit in.
That's right. The big wooden case.
But really, I mean, how special is
that? Laminate on it.
Anyway, let's continue here. So by the late 80s and 90s, fewer people were dropping dollars into arcades, and technology began to allow kids to play arcade games in the safe space of home. Game makers tried to adapt somewhat by focusing on games with steering wheels, jet fighter sticks, dual screens, trackballs, and other gadgets not possible at home. But the market erosion continued. The number of arcade game units nationwide dropped from 860,000 in 1994, and I'd like to see what the number is for 1984, but 860,000 in 1994 to 333,000 in 2004. That's a more than 50% decline in a decade.
Mm.
According to statistics from the Vending Times, revenue from the game sank from $2.3 billion, this is the real telling one,
yeah,
to $866 million.
So they're putting out more machines and making less money per machine.
Well, they're putting out less machines and making less money per machine.
That's
so
right.
Not doing so well. The small arcades that survive tend to feed off the spare change of tourists and theme park goers. Most of the ones that thrive are the multi-purpose entertainment centers, like you mentioned, Julia, the Pirate's Cove or Chuck E. Cheese, that sort of thing.
Doug and Buster's or whatever they're called.
Yeah, Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster's.
That's or the GameStop things or what was it called? GameWorks. Game Express, that sort of thing. These like multi-purpose locations where you can do more than just play video games. You can go and drink and eat and dance and play video games, or go and play mini golf and bumper cars and play video games. So it's more of a feature than a draw in itself anymore.
Right. Something to do after you've been maimed in the batting cage.
For those of us who miss the old days, home consoles offer arcade favorites, compilations, and collections, but they never feel satisfying because the sum of the unique arcade experience was more than simply standing up in a room while playing Elevator Action or Burger Time. So if you want to share your old arcade stories, 800-259-9231, let's go to Gene the Christian Anarchist in Tennessee. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys. I wanted to share my arcade experiences and talk about Ron Paul. How's
okay.
that?
Sure.
Excellent.
Okay. Well, I've been in arcades since before they had video games.
Really?
They used to have just the pinball machines and mainly pinball machines. There wasn't a whole... Well, they did start with air hockey. In like
how many would they have? How many pinball machines would be in one of these arcades, Gene? I can't imagine.
They'd have maybe 20 or 30 of them.
They're all the same.
They weren't real big arcades. Oh, they'd be a little different, you know. But,
okay.
Yeah, they're basically all the same. But then the machines started coming out electronic. I came out. I remember playing Pong, putting in quarters to play Pong.
Wow.
And
who would have
known? Well, when it was new, it was rather unique.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then they started getting better, and they came out with things like Frogger and Donkey Kong. And I was kind of I hung out in the arcades pretty late in life. I was probably approaching 30 before I stopped hanging out in the arcades and plunking quarters into those things. And when you figure the value of a quarter in, say, the late 80s and or the early 80s compared to now,
that's a good point.
Lot more money. That's
yeah.
a lot more money per game than what people play today.
Right, so the $866 million they're pulling in today doesn't even compare to what they were pulling in back in the 80s. If they'd made $866 million back then, it'd be a lot more money because of inflation. Gene, I'll let you come back. Hang on. 800-259-9231. Arcades, they're dying. Do you have a few words? This is Free Talk Live.
Hey, Emily. Wow, you look great.
I feel great. I've been using MetaCleanse Colon Cleanse.
Really? What is it? How does it work?
Well, MetaCleanse is a natural fiber therapy with ground flaxseed, psyllium, and bentonite clay that eliminates toxins from the body. MetaCleanse is easy to use without being intrusive. You take 2 tablespoons of MetaCleanse powder, mix with water or juice, drink, and it does all the work for you.
That's it? Well, it sounds so easy and convenient.
It is easy. Plus, the FDA says flaxseed works to prevent cancer and helps with menopause, weight loss, irritable bowel syndrome, and constipation.
It helps with all of those ailments? That's amazing.
And the bentonite clay and MetaCleanse eliminates viruses and pesticides in the intestinal tract.
Wow. Where can I buy MetaCleanse?
A 1-month supply is available online at MetaCleanse.com. That's MetaCleanse.com. Or call 1-800-317-9547. That's 800-317-9547. 1-800-317-9547.
Is credit card debt making your life stressful? Do you avoid answering the phone in fear of another creditor calling? How would you like to cut your credit card balances by as much as half? Well, now you can. Safeguard Debt Management Services will connect you with a debt management specialist who will negotiate with your creditors to reduce your balances by as much as half. You can consolidate all of your high credit card balances into one monthly payment. Call for a free, no-obligation debt consultation and learn how to get your very own customized debt Debt Management Program. 1-800-794-4313. Enjoy the financial freedom you've dreamed of, knowing your debt is being handled by professionals. Call now for your free no-obligation debt consultation. Regardless of your credit history, Safeguard can help. Get the answers you're looking for. The call is free, the consultation is free, and the information could change your life. Call now. 1-800-794-4313. That's 1-800-794-4313.
Oh, those summer nights and those summer electric bills. How would you like to save money this summer on your electric bill and sleep better than ever? Well, now you can with the Bedfan Personal Cooling System. The Bedfan will allow you to raise your thermostat several degrees and still sleep cool. This works by delivering a gentle breeze between your sheets, thus keeping your body cool and comfortable. Doug from Austin, Texas writes,
I like it to be very cold while sleeping. Since purchasing the Bedfan, I've been able to turn the thermostat up from 68 to 78 degrees, and I've never been more comfortable. My electric bill this month compared to the same month last year is over 27% lower. I couldn't be happier with your product.
Maybe it is time you started thinking about trying the Bedfan Personal Cooling System. If you're a hot sleeper, you will love it. If you want to lower your electric bill, you will love it too. Go to Bedfan.com and try the remarkable Bedfan yourself. That's Bedfan.com. Or call 210-632-8280. That's 210-632-8280. The Bedfan is on sale for a limited time, so don't delay. Remember, Bedfan.com or 210-632-8280.
Did you know that the water you drink every day can be even more beneficial to your health? I'm not talking so-called enriched water, but I'm talking about electrolyzed water. RPA Biotech is an amazing American company that provides unique technology to transform water. Electrolyzed Plus water will alkalinize your water more powerfully than any other single nutraceutical because a body in an alkaline state can't grow pathogens, become allergic, or develop autoimmune disease or vascular degenerative illness. Electrolyzed water is non-toxic, non-corrosive, and environmentally safe for humans and animals. Alkaline water is available as a concentrate to be mixed with good, filtered, purified RO water, but not tap water, microstructured, alkaline, antioxidant water for consumption. Call for your Electrolyzed Plus Alkalinizing Miracle Rejuvenating Water Concentrate or other remarkable RPA Biotech products like Ultimate Fuel, Sport Performance Drink at 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871 or go to NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I with an I, medical.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything toll-free at 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line for you. 800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
You can join us online. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. The features on the site, totally free, so enjoy those on us. And those features include archives, an entire year's worth of the show right there on the front page of the website for free. At freetalklive.com.
Now you can save time and money on common legal matters created by top attorneys. LegalZoom.com helps you create reliable legal documents like setting up a corporation or a limited liability company. LegalZoom.com. Use code FTL to save 10%. That's LegalZoom.com.
Talking about the imminent death of the arcade game business. It's been dropping off precipitously in the last decade. Sales down from over $2.4 billion to less than $900 million in just a decade's time. The number of units down by more than 50%. It is it's a dying industry, and one that a lot of people have fond memories of. So if you want to share a few words of how you feel about the arcade business or some memories of playing arcade games as a kid, I've got a story that I remember, but I'll share that here in a moment. Let's go back to Gene, the Christian anarchist. You're back on Free Talk Live. Hello, Gene.
Yeah, I remember the reason it was such a spectator sport back then is because the quarter was worth quite a bit more money, at least twice what it is today. And so a lot of kids couldn't afford to sit there and play games all day, so they'd watch other people play them.
Sure. So that's what I would do, too.
I'd just watch the demo. It would, flash game over, and I'd just sit there and watch it.
Yeah, and if you want to play arcade games right now, the best arcades that I've seen in the country are in places like Reno and Las Vegas, where there's a lot of casinos, because the casinos mm-hmm. have pretty big arcade rooms to keep the kids busy.
That makes parents sense. Can play slot machines.
Yeah, no. And but they have in Las Vegas at the Sands. No, is it the Sands? No, Sahara. at the Sahara, they have the best driving simulators you can do. They're all linked together through computers, and they have motion. You sit in a little car, and it's got screens, 180-degree screens around you.
Wow.
So it's just like racing other people, and the other people that you're racing are on the track with you and they're in their 3D cars. It's very, very good.
What's it cost to play that?
Actually, you can get a day pass for like $16 and play all day long.
Right. That's how they were doing it at this GameWorks place that I was at, this arcade/club, is you could go in and you could pay per play, but it was really expensive. So you would want to go and get the unlimited pass, which was something similar to that, $20, $15,
and
something like that.
And if you go to Vegas, don't miss the Big Shot ride on top of the Stratosphere. That's the best thrill ride I've ever been on in my life.
All right, Gene.
I highly recommend it.
Your comments on Ron Paul, and then we got to go.
Ron Paul, okay, real quick. The more I listen to this guy, the more I think that if he doesn't get shot, like I predicted, if something happens and he actually gets elected, I think that we've got a chance of avoiding a revolution in this country. But if he doesn't make it, I don't see any way around it. I think we're definitely headed towards a violent revolution. But there's some chance, because he has got the message. Every time I listen to him, it's like a revival all over again.
He's really doing an amazing job of waking people up. I was looking at some amazing statistics today that really say that, you know, Ron Paul is still at this point very underappreciated. Actually, according to YouTube, only two of the Republican candidates have agreed to the upcoming YouTube CNN debates, and that's Ron Paul and John McCain. So
they're all afraid of it.
Yes, they are. Apparently so. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Gene. We appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. So I remember when I was... My most memorable arcade story isn't the most... I don't know. It's probably not the most honest of arcade stories. But I was a young kid. There was Stardust Skate Center down in Sarasota. Do you remember that, Mark? Do you remember, was Stardust around when you were a kid?
Yes.
Right. And why are you chuckling?
I just say, you know, it's such a funny place. It's such a dangerous part of town that it's in.
Yeah, it was kind of a dangerous place to be in general. I mean, being at Stardust. Anyway, parents had no qualms about dropping their kids off there for whatever reason. But and in many cases, what they would do is they'd send the school buses. They'd send these skate center buses to the schools on Friday. And you could take a skate center bus to the skate center after school, go skating for an hour or two, and your parents would pick you up there.
Hmm.
And so
cheap babysitting.
Yeah, I would do that from time to time. And so inevitably you'd go with a couple bucks in your pocket, and there was plenty of arcade games there to play. And I encountered some kid that was having trouble with one of the games. I remember this. He was putting quarters into it, and somehow the quarters had gotten jammed inside the little quarter receiving mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
You could look in the quarter slot, and you could actually see, you know, maybe three quarters sort of sandwiched together, blocking the path to, you know, downwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was, you know, banging on the front of the machine and that sort of thing, trying to get his quarters to go through. And for some reason, I remember the kid being kind of a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really explain to you what it was he did. It's been a decade and a half or something like that. But I just remember getting that sort of feeling from him. He's just a jerk. And so at one point he walked away. And so I started working on the machine and like kicking it and just attacking the, you know, front of this machine. And I actually successfully removed those quarters from the slot. And they all came right out through the coin return. And I think I got like a few bucks worth of quarters out of that machine, and I pocketed them and walked right away.
Quickly.
Yes. And never saw the kid again. So there's my arcade memory.
I wonder if kids still go. There really aren't payphones around anymore either. But I wonder if kids
still payphones.
Not very many.
How much? It costs like 50 cents, doesn't it, to make a phone
right.
call now?
Check the payphone numbers too, and see how many payphones there are now.
You're right. Those are going down.
There's no phone books that pay. We were looking for a phone book once, and we thought to go to a payphone, and there's no phone books on the payphones. At least not at the Walmart.
No, they don't put them out there because people would just rip the pages out of them anyway.
Right.
Yep. It's true. What were you going to say, though, Mark?
I wonder if kids still check the coin return slots on payphones.
I'm sure if it's not kids, it's the homeless people that check those coin return slots.
Vending machines.
Yeah. 800-259-9231. Arcades, they are dying off, and we will miss them. But there are still some arcade games out there, but they really have to be something special to get people interested in them. Like what Gene was talking about with this 180-degree screen that, you know, surrounds you. That's pretty cool, and that's something you can't really do at home, at least not yet. So is the industry going to die completely? Well, maybe not anytime soon. There's still going to be some level of demand for stand-up video game entertainment, but according to the numbers, nowhere near what it used to be. And, of course, video game console systems, the numbers there, the business is incredible. I think I saw, didn't they surpass Hollywood blockbuster movies already?
Oh,
hasn't
yeah.
that happened?
Absolutely true.
I think that was fairly recent, though, that occurred. Like, video games are now more popular than going to the movies. That's huge news. This is the wave of the future for entertainment, as far as entertainment is concerned. They're far more creative, far more interactive. It's non-linear. You don't sit there. There's no starting point and ending point, necessarily, in many of these games. And like a game like Grand Theft Auto, you can go in and do virtually anything that you want to.
They're mostly cheaper to produce, too, aren't they?
Than a movie?
Yeah.
Sure, you don't have to pay millions of dollars to actors. Programmers are faceless. You may pay a couple thousand to a voice actor.
I don't even know why they do that.
What, for voice actors?
Right, you can get voice actors, good voice actors, probably more cheaply than that. But
have you ever played a game with bad voice acting? There's a lot of them out there. So some of them have cut the corners on voice acting, and you can tell when you're playing through the games. But let's see, what else did I want to point out? Oh, Abandonware. This is an interesting sort of issue that ties in the video game discussion with the intellectual property discussion.
Okay.
Now then, how many arcade games have been released in the past two or three decades?
Back to the regular
arcades?
Oh, yeah.
Thousands.
Lots.
Many of which don't necessarily have home versions. They don't, they didn't necessarily make it
to
the console system.
Just crappy little games that just didn't do very well. It's, I remember there was like this Lunar Lander one that was just lines. It was just, one colored lines on the screen, and there was a submarine version of that and a battle tank version of that. I can't imagine that anybody's got copyrights on those things.
Well, there are copyrights, and they're still existing. But the question is, at what point should there no longer be any protection for these games? Because nobody can go to the arcades and play them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go and buy a console version of them. So is it really, or should it really be against the law for somebody to download the ROM from the old arcade board and emulate it on their computer? Because that's one of the places you will find a lot of these games. We'll tell you about it coming up.
Do you believe in liberty? Are you an activist or organization that wants to spread the message of freedom to others? Now introducing the Liberty Card. It's the perfect resource for anyone new to the message of liberty. It features a full-spectrum political quiz and over a dozen pro-liberty websites, including Free Talk Live, Downsize DC, and others. Every defender of freedom must have this card. Free Talk Live listeners receive free shipping. For more information, visit libertycard.org.
What's the worst thing about listening to the radio? The commercial breaks are too long. Now for just $3 a month, you can help Free Talk Live reduce the amount of time we spend playing commercials and get some really cool bonuses. Your contribution will help us get the show on more radio stations and MP3 players. For pennies a day, you'll help spread the message of liberty around the world. For more information, visit amp.freetalklive.com. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier today for just $3 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today!
Do you know the difference between the millions of millionaires in this country and you? Simple. They decided they wanted to be millionaires, so they went out and did it. So, do you want to be a millionaire? If the answer is yes, then get ready to write down a number that could change your life forever. Because now you can get a free CD that shows you everything you need to start making the kind of money you deserve with an internet business that virtually runs itself. So you're making cash even while you're sleeping by selling products you don't have to see, store, or even pay for. There are millions of millionaires out there. Don't you want to be one of them? Get the free CD from Internet Speedway and start making money with an internet business that virtually runs itself. For your free CD, call 1-800-440-1491. Deciding to be wealthy is the first step to becoming wealthy. Call now, 1-800-440-1491. The free CD is yours by calling 1-800-440-1491.
We would all love to live in a world with clean air and water, a world in which our produce is grown naturally, without the use of pesticides and other harmful chemicals. But the truth is, we don't live in such a world. These toxins enter our bodies, and the organ in our body that works hard to eliminate these toxins is the liver, which is one of the most complex and important organs in the human body. With more than 500 vital functions, give your liver the helping hand it needs with Live 52, the world's best-selling all-natural liver support formula in over 76 countries. And it's backed by over 300 clinical trials and studies. Live 52 is the most researched herbal formula that helps neutralize toxins from food, water, air, alcohol, and prescription medications. To order Live 52 and for the best source of researched herbal products, visit research-herbs.com or call 1-800-973-1482. That's research-herbs.com or call 1-800-973-1482 and tell them Alex Jones sent you.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. The toll-free number is 800-259-9231. Sickle CAI toll-free line for you. It's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site for free. If you like the show, you want to help support Free Talk Live, then you should go and become a Free Talk Live amplifier at amp.freetalklive.com. Hundreds of our listeners have decided to do this because they like the show and they understand that we give the website features away for free, and they just want to help spread the message of freedom and liberty and get this program on more radio stations across the country. That's what you can do if you send us $3 a month through the AMP program at amp.freetalklive.com, and you'll get some perks as well. Access to the AMP-only chat room, AMP-only forums, and the AMP-only call-in line. All the details at amp.freetalklive.com. Talking about the death of the arcade business. The console systems have won the war. Of course, it was, you know, they weren't really fighting. They were sort of fighting with themselves. Sega, for instance, they used to be in the hardware business. Now they're only in the arcade business. They used to sell video game systems. They're now out of that business. Now they're only doing software and arcade machines. And the market's just not there for it anymore. The number of arcade machines dropping precipitously, the number of dollars being put into arcade machines dropping even faster than the number of the machines themselves. And I wanted to talk about the software behind the machines, especially the older ones. I don't want to talk about the new machines that you can't run those games on your computer. I'm talking about Galaga. I'm talking about Pac-Man. But more so than that, the more obscure arcade games, of which there are, you know, thousands of old 1980s games that a lot of people like you and myself and Julia, we have sort of a special place in our hearts for these games.
Right. Now, they have these things on the internet called emulators. Isn't that what the terminology is?
That's correct. Video game. They have emulators for video game systems, like the old Nintendo Entertainment System or the Atari 2600, and they also have arcade emulation. So, basically, what you can do, and it's illegal to do this, it's not illegal to have the emulator. But it is illegal to have the software that runs on the emulator. And basically, when it comes to arcades, what they've done is the hackers, which, you know, these people are brilliant, they've come up with the hardware necessary to interface with the old arcade boards, right? So when you'd open an arcade machine up to change out the quarter units and that sort of thing, there's PC boards in there. They're electronic circuitry, and these hackers, they know how to hook things up into the right places to where they can download the software from the arcade board onto their computers. And then they take that software, they're called ROMs. And then they take these ROMs and they make it so their emulators can play the ROMs. And if the games are old enough, and most of them are, you can play them at 100% capability. They look and play just like they did back when you were in the arcades on your computer.
Now, it seems a friend of mine set up one of these emulators on my computer so that I could play this game that I hadn't played in a decade,
mm-hmm.
That no one had ever heard of, that I really enjoyed very much. It was called Sinistar.
Okay.
Since Games.com has bought it, and I can go play it on their little emulator, it's been licensed or whatever, and I can play Sinistar all day long if I want to now. But this was a few years ago, and they set it up on my computer, and I don't think that Games.com at that time, I certainly didn't know if they had it, but I think I've done this. I think that I've illegally downloaded and played one of these games.
Right. And what are they going to do? I mean, the company that made the game may not even be in existence. I don't know who made it. Maybe Midway, they might still be around.
They can have my quarter if they'd like it.
Right. What are they going to do? File a lawsuit? I mean, the stamp on the envelope demanding the quarter is going to cost more than that. And so what you've got today is the situation where these games, it's illegal to play them, but yet there are thousands upon thousands of gamers out there that really want to play them. And so they're breaking the law in order to just experience a little bit of nostalgia. Is it really necessary that we have these silly copyright laws out there? They're really, I mean, not that they're prosecuting anybody, at least not that I've heard for this sort of thing. But I just wanted to bring that up as a possible side issue here. I don't think it has happened, but there's a website out there. What you wanted to look for is the term abandonware. Basically, the definition of abandonware is a game that was created by a company that probably doesn't exist anymore, or if they do exist, they no longer offer the game for sale, nor do they offer any support for the game. So if you have the game, you can't go and get an instruction book from the company. You can't do, I mean, you can't get
a... So why does it matter?
Apparently, it still matters to some of the companies. There's a website out there that has abandoned, what they call abandonware, on the site.
Abandonia.com.
There's another one as well. But
I'm sure there is. But they're DOS games. This is great.
Yeah, but basically what their policy is that, okay, if you are the original copyright holder on this piece of what we have deemed abandonware, because it's X amount of years old and by all means not being taken care of anymore, if you want us to pull it down from our site, we will. Send us an email. You know, we're going to verify who you are, and we'll pull the games down. So inevitably, there have been a handful of them that have, but there is this huge selection. So everybody that's sort of interested in these old arcade games or old computer games, you can find them online through the wonders of the Internet. And there are some people that have really gone crazy, which I think is a brilliant idea, and they've gone ahead and purchased I found a website, actually the board op sent this to me, how to build your own arcade system. Now this is a cool idea. What you do is you get yourself an arcade cabinet, which is a few $100, and you put a TV in and you get the buttons and everything. I mean, really, you're looking at a couple of grand, right, to have a nice brand new arcade system in your living room.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do is you can build a computer especially for the internals of this unit, load it up with this software called MAME. That's the arcade emulator software. You load up that software, download the ROMs from wherever, which is, again, illegal, but who cares, right?
Yeah.
So you download the software, and you can download whatever old arcade games you can think of. If you can think of it, some hacker out there has downloaded it from the old ROM, from the old boards and created a downloadable version. You load it up into MAME, and you can, you know, have it load up a whole bunch of different games if you want to. You can
so you can have hundreds of arcade games on this.
All in one unit.
Mm.
Yeah. And you can, you know, map the buttons so you can tell which buttons you want to do what and that sort of thing. And, I mean, for a couple of grand, you could have every arcade game you ever played back in the 1980s and in the early 90s in your living room.
I can't even remember what they all are.
Why shouldn't that be legal? That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah, who's getting hurt?
Yeah, what's silly about that is that it's not like they're selling these games anymore.
Right.
There's not even anybody to send a check to.
No. Sometimes they sell those crappy, like, the packages of, like, Atari Classics or something like that. But there's always only a few of them. They're really expensive for what you get. And they usually have a bunch of crappy games and one or two games that I actually would be interested in playing. And so it's never worth it.
I've seen those, and I agree completely. When they come out brand new, they're $40 to $50. And you get maybe 6 to 10 games.
Right.
One of them is Pitfall or Frogger,
what you intended to get.
Right. One of the classic games.
It's like it used to be buying a cassette tape. You would buy Michael Jackson's Beat
for
It.
Bad.
For
Bad. Yeah. Or Thriller or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's the same deal. And so you don't want to pay for that. Why would you do that when you can go and just have it all for a very cheap price? I want to know why that should be illegal. At 800-259-9231, let's go to the phones. Talk to Stephen in Oklahoma. You're on Free Talk Live. Stephen.
Hey, Mark, Ian, Julia, how's it going?
There. Hey, what's on your mind?
It's actually Stefan from Oklahoma.
Stefan, sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, I just want to let you guys know about there's a site on the internet called virtualnes.com, and it has a Java-based emulator of the old Nintendo Entertainment System.
Really?
And man, they've probably got 300 American games and a bunch of Japanese games as well. And it's really cool because, you know, I write code all day, and every once in a while, you know, you have to have a break. So I go to that site, and I can play those old games I used to play when I was a little kid, and it's awesome.
That is really cool. Is it based in another country where there's no copyright restrictions?
You know, I imagine it is. I hadn't really done the research. I should have done that before I called in, but I imagine so because they've been up for, probably about a year and a half now I've been playing on this, so...
VirtualNES.com is what it is?
Yeah, VirtualNES.com. It's really cool. You got to have a Java plugin in your browser. But
that is awesome. And that really just shows how, what level of demand there is to play old games.
Now,
no doubt,
NES is a type of video game system
it's
that
the
exists.
The Nintendo Entertainment System. It came out just before you went to jail. It's the one with Mario Brothers Duck Hunt and those games.
Duck Hunt.
Wow,
probably
very cool.
The best one.
Stefan, any other thoughts?
No, that's all I have for tonight. Thanks
for the clue. I'm going to go to that website during the break. Now that's an interesting question because when emulators first came out for the computer, it was, the late 90s. People were writing emulators because you had to write an emulator for a game system that was like a decade old because it takes more computing power to emulate than it does to play just a regular computing game. So the emulators were only able to emulate older game systems. And they didn't really do it perfectly either. So they've really tweaked them. They've really made them a lot better. In fact, they've made them so good now, apparently, that you can put one into a Java script on a website and play them online. Like you said, you play Sinistar online on some website.
It's actually Java. It's a plug-in.
Right. Thank you for the call, Stefan. We appreciate hearing from you. You're not actually downloading the games. In this case, in this virtual NES website that I'm about to go to, they're on the website. So is it illegal for you to play a game that someone else has illegally put on their website? Hour 3 is coming up. You can take control. It's Free Talk Live.
There are many paths you can take in the pursuit of liberty. The fastest avenue to real political change is being paved by the Republican Liberty Caucus. Join Representatives Ron Paul, Jeff Flake, and dozens of state legislators in advancing the ideals of individual rights, limited government, and private enterprise within the GOP. The Republican Liberty Caucus, online at rlc.org. That's rlc.org. Your path to liberty.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN program. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local station and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.
Tired of looking?